first gospel.
Matthew chapter 1. Oh. Am I on now? With that and the lights on, no one will be sleeping. So we will read this passage, Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 18 to 25. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name, what? Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your Son. In Spirit of God, please come down upon us. Speak to us through your word. We pray for humble hearts to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' good name, amen. I Googled Santa Claus coming to town. A song, actually, I did not know was recently done by Justin Bieber. And I promise you, this is the first, I think it's the first, and the last time we'll mention Biebs from the pulpit. But hear these lyrics. Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. This is what Justin Bieber sings at Christmas. And we hear this on the radio all Christmas season long, this song. But the real message of Christmas actually says something completely different. The true and real meaning. In fact, it's the complete opposite. God leaves heaven, is born, lives in human form for one purpose. Just like he's named Jesus, to save people from their sins. So Christmas is not trying to make bad kids or bad people good. Christmas is about bad people being made good by Jesus Christ. So you can receive goodness from God. It actually, the very meaning of Christmas and the message of Christmas is the fact that Jesus has to come to save people from their sins, says indeed that we are sinful, therefore already bad. In essence, if Santa could make a list, check it twice, even if he checked it 1,000 times, he would still see all us humans were naughty, not nice, and not good. But that is the very hope in the peace and joy at Christmas. Jesus has come to deal with our naughtiness, our not niceness, and our not goodness. That's the hope. We looked this morning at Matthew 1, verse 1 to 17, really in the introduction of this book. It lays out the family tree of Jesus. But here in this section, we actually see how the birth of Jesus came about, or at least Matthew's telling of it. The other telling of it is in Luke, chapters 1 and 2. But I have 4 points this morning, and we'll just do them one at a time here. Our first point is an unexpected birth, verse 18. The birth of Jesus took place this way when Mary, his mother, had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. In order to understand this story, we kind of need to take a couple of steps back and talk about marriage and relationships were a lot different back then than they are today. In the 21st century, when things feel right, you start getting intimate with someone. Maybe later you move in, and then when you feel like settling down, you get married. If you can't find anyone better, then you settle down. That's what often happens. But in Bible times, though, a woman would be engaged as young as 12 years old, and the couple would be engaged for 1 year, and after that year, the lady would move in with the husband, and then they would get physically intimate at that time. They were pure up until the marriage was consummated after the 1 year. But here there's a problem for Joseph. Mary is pregnant, and he has not been intimate with her. In fact, Matthew uses the words before they came together. But Matthew announces that Mary has not been unfaithful to Jesus. Jesus has been conceived by whom? Holy Spirit. This truth about Jesus Christ, of him being conceived by the Holy Spirit, has actually been heavily criticized even by people in the church. But we need to say something about this. This is a miracle. Miracles are things that cannot normally happen unless God intervenes. That's why it's a miracle. Let's look at verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph is described as just, meaning that he was faithful to God and obeyed the commands of God. But Joseph didn't want to deal with this issue in a public way. One of the ways that marital unfaithfulness was dealt with during the time of Jesus is how it's often dealt with in Islamic countries. If Mary had been unfaithful and had been proven as such, she and the man she was unfaithful with during this time period, this engagement with Joseph, they would have both been stoned publicly. This is not stoned in the sense that we normally hear. This is rocks being thrown at you until you die. Rosalie said I had to clarify that, just so you know. But Joseph did not want to do this. He wanted to do this quietly. So an unexpected birth. But an angel intervenes in verse 20 to 21. Joseph is considering these things. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph actually considers these things and thinks about things and thinks about what to do in this situation. But his plans and considerations are interrupted by an angel of the Lord. But we need to know something about appearances of angels in the Bible. They're actually very rare. Because often when you share your faith or you have discussions with people, or at least my experience, they want to be touched by an angel. They think they should be having experiences like Highway to Heaven in the show, Touched by an Angel, that angels are just a common thing. But actually, the Bible spans over around 4,000 years, and we actually have very few appearances of angels, very few, in the realm of that 4,000 years. We also know that in Matthew, an angel appears to Joseph to tell him to leave Egypt in chapter 2, verse 13, to get away from whom? Herod. And then, because Herod wants to kill Jesus. And then an angel tells Joseph to go back to Nazareth in 2:19 after Herod is dead. And so, the angel of the Lord reveals himself three times to Joseph. But the angel announces something very odd. Take Mary as his wife. Mary has not been unfaithful. What is conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. And then we get this great announcement about Jesus. His name will be Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. They will have a son. And an angel gives a description of what has been conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary. His name, Jesus. This is the same Hebrew word as Joshua. This means the Lord saves. If your name is Joshua, your name means the Lord saves. In essence, it's the same as Jesus. Remember, Joshua in the book of Joshua was the leader of Israel who brought the people safely into the promised land out of the wilderness. And that's that imagery that Jesus does. He saves his people from their sins. This is why Jesus, in essence, is named Jesus. He will save. His name says it all. Jesus is able to save people from their sins because by the means of him coming, Jesus takes the punishment of sin, the curse of sin, the sorrow of sin, and he bears it upon the cross. Jesus dies in place of sinful people. Jesus, in essence, fulfills what the psalmist says in Psalm 130. Psalm 130 is all about the grace of God. And it's speaking about God here. The psalmist declares, "And he, that is the Lord, will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." In essence, Jesus fulfills that. Well, who are these sinful people needing saving? Every single human being that has ever stepped on the face of the earth. Every single one of us. So now we go to our next step. An unexpected birth is actually expected. We see this as Jesus fulfills a prophecy. It says in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Even the events of the birth of Jesus are fulfilling prophecy and thus fulfilling the Old Testament. The event of the birth of Jesus and details surrounding it was something that was extensively predicted in the Old Testament. Well, what is predicted? 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here we see Jesus, or here we have Jesus is predicted in the Old Testament hundreds of years before he was born. Hundreds. This wasn't the night before. This was hundreds of years before. This passage is quoted from Isaiah 7:14, which William read. And there's really two important things about this verse. First, Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, our culture, specifically Canadians, we have a hard time believing things that aren't scientific. Because, you know, we're children of the likes of David Suzuki and Bill Nye. We grew up with watching them and indoctrinated by them. But again, this is a miracle, meaning that God supernaturally did this so that the Savior, the Son of God, could come to earth and die. As well, he's called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus coming in the flesh reveals that God is truly with us. He's a holy God who is far off, yes, but he is nearby and he comes as a human. And this is what Jesus promises to his disciples at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Before he goes back to the Father, he says, "I am with you always to the end of age." God with us. So we had an unexpected birth, an announcement by an angel. An unexpected birth is actually an expected birth. And finally, Joseph's all in obedience. Verse 24 and 25. Here we see why Joseph is truly righteous or just. Notice he doesn't question any of the commands of God through the angel. This is his raw faith, real faith. Trust in the Lord that reveals itself in obedience and faithfulness to God. This is the obedience that is revealed from a truly just and righteous person. Faithful commitment. Joseph practiced abstinence with Mary until they could come together again after Jesus is born. We know they had several other children. And Joseph obeys God in naming Jesus what the Lord wants to name him, Jesus. Well, what does this mean to our life? Just one quick point of application. Have a Merry Christmas. And the question is, do you really want to have a Merry Christmas? In order for one truly to experience true joy over the Christmas season, one must experience the true meaning of Christmas, Jesus Christ the Lord. This true joy is not in a food high or food a coma, whatever you want to call it, a sentimental rush, the joy of being with family, or having the hottest toy of the year, which according to Google is the Nerf Nitro Long Shot Smash. These pressures actually create more depression and sadness all over the holiday season than joy. But Jesus comes with humility and a selfless attitude to save sinners. Today, if you do not know the joy of Jesus, consider your life. Consider the things you have done. Consider your actions that has even created this Christmas season. All of us, our sin created this Christmas season. Our sin caused God to send his son Jesus to deal with our sin. Now, this is not hoping that you're good or trusting in your good works, just like Santa Claus is coming to town teaches. The good will be rewarded because none of us are good. This is a personal acknowledgement and confession of your sin. This is a turning and leaving your sin. So in essence, sin in essence is rebellion against God. It's leaving that. And it's embracing Jesus Christ who brings true joy. The angel makes this declaration about Jesus in Luke 2:10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. This is the news of Jesus. He is great joy because he restores us back to God because our sin has broken that friendship or relationship with God. So turn from your sin. Trust in Jesus and his work. Are all Canadian traditions about Christmas bad? Only if they're put before Jesus. So treasure him above all things. Amen.
We're going to pass out the candles while Gail and Gloria play through without us singing, and then we'll light our candles and stand and sing.